Welcome to hour number three, Nutri-Medical Report, 23rd December. And Reverend Ted Pike, I'd like you to give us an update of what's going on since the, quote, hate bills were passed. The latest moves by the Democrats, Obama, et cetera, and the ADL. Let's tell us our marching orders for 2010, because it's going to be a hot time in the old town when the battalions of lawyers and other legal activists are trying to shut up people like you and me that ask good questions, raise issues, and try to bring out the truth, and in no way are haters. So what's happening and where are we going? Because I believe that the so-called conservative elements within the Patriot movement are going to have to wake up, including many organizations you've mentioned before, that they need to stop playing around with these issues and actually take action on it.
Absolutely. Well, of course, the great victory of the ADL was the passage and final signing of their federal hate crimes bill. And since that has happened, the ADL has repeatedly stressed that it played the predominant role both in conception of this legislation and getting it finally rammed through. On the other hand, the ADL has suffered a major defeat, major embarrassment, even over the last 5 weeks. They came, Abe Foxman, who's the head of the ADL, he came out with a 27-page attack on anti-Obama protesters, the Tea Party protesters, the town hall protesters. This attack called "The Rage Grows in America, Anti-Government Conspiracies" is a diatribe against just about everybody on the political right. And it says not that these people just hold conspiracy theories. It says literally millions of Americans are actual conspirators against the government, all the way from Glenn Beck and Joe Farah and others at the top, who are, according to ADL, manufacturing phony conspiracy theories, right down to the protesters on the ground. They say they are manufacturing, contriving anything they can do to say or misrepresent President Obama in order to take him down. And when this came out, I sent out an alert to the nation, and I was actually preceded by Jonathan Tobin of Commentary Magazine, which is a very prestigious, it's a Jewish-owned, so-called neoconservative magazine. But Jonathan Tobin came out with a masterfully and powerful, scathing rebuttal of ADL's Foxman a couple days before I did, and also Joe Farah of WorldNet Daily launched out against the ADL, saying, "Don't you dare call me an anti-Semite." He said, Farah said he gets more invitations from ADL B'nai B'rith for speaking engagements than he gets from Christian groups in the last year. So there was not only that, but Joel Spreyrigin, who is a former ADL vice chairman, he came out with a tremendous blast on the American Thinker website against ADL, just absolutely destroying his image and his reputation, and saying that the modern ADL today is a shambles in as far as the respect of the liberal community in America. And so anyway, there was a tremendous backlash, and some of my articles were published on from 50 to 100 different websites internationally, just tremendously blanketing the nation and the world against ADL. And finally, ADL, after a week or so of silence, finally reported that all this criticism was a result of people who were basically deranged in their perceptions, who were caught up in rage, what they call toxic rage, and they really didn't understand what ADL was trying to say. They said that the media spinned it out of proportion and so on. But in the end, the ADL has been seriously set back, seriously tarnished, even among liberals in America. And astonishingly, even the liberal media, which usually walks in lockstep with ADL, wouldn't touch this rage report of ADL. In fact, there was only one ADL supporter, one or two, but one was a writer down in the LA Times who had last year received an ADL, a free speech award. He was the only one who stood up for ADL, and he claimed that people like Glenn Beck were a reincarnation of people like so-called anti-Semitic Father Coughlin back in the 1930s. So this was a time of extreme alienation between the leaders of the religious right and the ADL, and was a disaster as far as Jewish-Christian communications and relations.
Yeah, that's what's interesting about this is it's bringing it to, it's like a boil coming to its culmination or a wound that's about to burst. This is going to hit, and in fact, in some ways, it's actually good what we're going through because people weren't careful enough when they elected Obama and the Democrats. These are going to be one-termers. Many of them are going to be sent home. Those that can be sent home will be sent packing. They'll not be reelected. They will pay dearly for a unilateral health bill that's not going to solve the health problems. It's not going to fix things. It's going to fix a few things here and there, but mostly it's got these special deals. And the hate bill is going to backfire. In fact, if anything, it's going to cause more hate.
Yes.
When they start trying to prosecute people, shut down broadcasters, shut down newspapers, go after individuals. And these will could be case celebs that will really balkanize the so-called liberal side. On the other side, they're going to weld together all these disparate factions and activate them on the right. It's going to get nasty. And I'm concerned that it might get too nasty where people will really kind of lose it with the foolishness and the evil that's going on with Obama and the Democrats. They're not using any common sense here at all.
Yes, and with the passage of the hate bill, of course, that there is the real possibility that anger against those who created the hate bill, the ADL, will become so intense that even enforcement of the hate bill might become a dicey thing, a risky thing politically for Obama and the Democrats in the government and the Justice Department and so on. And in fact, I wrote an article. The title of the article was No ADL, No Hate Bill Enforcement. And in that article, my point was that without ADL's active participation, these Jewish activists in Canada and France and England and Australia and so on, none of these hate crime bureaucracies would even function for a day because, you see, ADL B'nai B'rith has presences in 56 nations of the world. They have lodges and chapters, and on the local level in the scene, whether it's Eastern Europe or Tasmania or wherever, you have these Jewish activists there who are putting pressure on the local governments and justice departments and so on. But if ADL is so seriously tarnished and denigrated by the people, which is the trend, then we might have the actual hate bill might become a dinosaur legislatively that while it's still on the books, it cannot be aggressively enforced as it has been
That's what's happened in Canada. The federal court has come out in Canada against the hate bill. They're not going to be able to proceed with it. Basically, the bill is dead in the water. They've used it for years as a blunt instrument against everyone, even people who are considered, you know, on the far side, that have no intentions of hatred. They're comedians even, and being prosecuted or internet prosecutions for people with enormous burdens of, you know, punishment against these people. The government says this is a violation of the Charter of Rights and Freedom, so it's over.
Well, not only that, but in Canada, just a week or so ago, a Reverend Stephen Boissoin, who has been, of course, convicted for criticizing homosexuality, was exonerated in the Human Rights Commission. And this, again, was a tremendous setback. And not only that, but I did write an article a couple of weeks ago. I'll get to that in just a second.
Yeah, keep that thought, and we'll be right back, because this is important. The hate issue is a very important one because free speech, when it's gone, you've got nothing. 2010 is going to be the battle lines drawn. And if they think they're going to enforce these laws, they're dreaming. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to the NutraMedical Report. And a lot of people might think that what you're saying, Reverend Ted, is extreme. It's not. What we're looking at is an anti-Christian establishment being set up by Obama and the Democrats that will destroy or try to destroy any right to be able to speak publicly about the truth in the Bible, morality, any spirituality. It'll be horrendous what will happen. And if people think that this won't happen under Obama, they need to get a reality check. 2010, I believe, is the battle lines are being drawn. And they've moved so quickly, they've woken the beast. They've woken the public is now deciding to say, hey, what's going on here? It's no longer, oh, we're going to have change. It's going to be nice, a smiling, very smooth politician. No, it's very nasty. You have to look at exactly what he's doing and what the Democrats have done unilaterally. And, of course, the global banksters and the Sabbateans and all of the these what I call synagogue of Satan Jews that have actually done this, along with their cohorts, the Jesuits and all the other evil factions that are involved. They're literally trying to strip America to the bone and strip its moral fiber as well as its financial backing.
Yes. Well, you know, clear back in 1962, David Ben-Gurion, the Prime Minister of Israel, prophesied that certainly by the end of the century, and he was talking only about 20 years from then, Israel would be in dominion of the nations, the world would be confederated into continents and be coming to Jerusalem for adjudication of the international disputes, there'd be no war, and Israel would be in legal and spiritual sovereignty over the nations. Now, that was 20 years ago. He thought, as a Jewish Zionist insider, that they'd have everything wrapped up about 20 years ago. And here we are 20 years more, and the Zionist internationalists have still not attained unto Ben-Gurion's vision. And I think what's happening here is that these groups like ADL and the Zionist leaders in Israel and so on are very impatient. They've got a schedule which is way overdue. They are pushing forward with great belligerence and arrogance and so on. But the thing about evil is that it is immoderate, and it has a tendency to go too far. And you know, the old saw is that haste makes waste. If you try to rush something through too fast, too arrogantly, you can actually experience a great setback. And I think that's what we might be looking forward to here, as these forces of international Zionist control are trying to ram through and push through basically global governance from Copenhagen or wherever, or the White House. They're wanting too much too fast, and it's kind of a little bit like trying to pour too much water into a bottle that has a very narrow neck, you know. It just starts to spill over. You can only do so much at a particular time. And I think that's what's happening now. There is a kind of a gut instinct, a visceral, primitive instinct in American people and people around the world that there's something very, very wrong in government. There's something very wrong as these international Jewish organizations try to impose not only hate laws upon us, but homosexuality, abortion, pornography, on and on and on. And there's something.
Well, look at the czars that they have. They have an education czar that's talking about fisting.
Yeah.
They have now pushed against the Hyde Amendment, using our money, my blood, sweat, and tears, yours, etc., to fund abortion. And I do not agree, as a physician, as a believer. And we will not tolerate this, Obama, and your administration, all you Democrats that have done this. You have tried to put blood on our hands, and we will not be silent.
Yeah. You know, what we have to do now is everybody has to take these positions of advantage that the ADL is giving us, that Obama is giving us. These people are making mistakes. They're making strategic mistakes and blunders. And what we should do is not just let those pass, but we should get on the talk radio, call in, into the letters of the editors, dramatize these mistakes. Don't let the people forget them, because ADL has made mistakes in the past. For example, in about 1988, the Spotlight, the newspaper, exposed the fact that ADL had been keeping surreptitious illegal files on some 10,000 Americans that it had been keeping dossiers on. And that was a great embarrassment. But you see, back then we did not have the internet. We did not have this communication empire that we now have through online chat rooms and websites and blogs and so on. And the people should keep alive a memory of the mistakes of ADL, such as happened in the last month. They should dramatize this. We need to get a grassroots communications going everywhere to do our very best to undermine and subvert the credibility of ADL, because ADL is not done bringing in perverse legislation. And in my recent e-alert, which I sent out just last night, I warn that if ADL isn't stopped, the next big bill it's going to introduce in Congress is not just another hate bill. It's going to be the Global Anti-Semitism Prevention Act.
Yeah, now wasn't there a big conference in Israel just recently regarding
That's
this?
That's right. Just last week, there was a big two-day conference, and 500 diplomats and academics and legislators came to Jerusalem. And this was a conference sponsored by the State of Israel, and they're very concerned about the spread of so-called global anti-Semitism, and they are defining now anti-Semitism not only just to be criticism of Jews for being involved in the crucifixion 2,000 years ago, but they're saying anti-Semitism is now any strong criticism of Israel in its military, in its national policies.
How about anti-Semitism?
And so on.
How about anti-Semitism as you can't use phosphorus bombs on Palestinian children that have genetics similar to your little Jewish girls?
Yeah.
How about anti-Semitism is you can't invade countries and hit them with biological weapons or build up a giant armamentarium of the third nuclear power ready to turn Damascus into a heap of rubble? What? How about anti-Semitism is you need to get along with your neighbors and not plan on starting Armageddon and then getting flyover access through Turkey and through Saudi Arabia and building a military base in Georgia for an attack on a sovereign nation that has no intention in attacking you, Iran, and yet they don't mind killing millions of people, including our soldiers and our economy. The tail of Israel has wagged America too long.
Yes, it certainly has. And these declarations that came out of Jerusalem this week are so simplistic. They are so arrogant. What they say is that, yes, we'll allow some very mild criticism of Israel on a strictly political level, but if it goes above mild criticism to strong criticism, then Israel is going to consider that an attempt to destroy the nation of Israel, delegitimize it, and call it anti-Semitism. And the truth of the matter is that there are many, many people worldwide who are sympathetic to the Jewish state and to Jews, and with the best of intentions, they are making strong statements trying to bring Israel to reality.
In other words, they want to have a state of Israel. I think that the Jews need to be able to live there, but they need to live in peace. How can you live in peace when you're literally on the edge of Armageddon every moment?
Yeah.
You can't, okay? And, of course, the real problem is if the Jews accepted their Messiah, then they become real Jews, which means praisers. If you're a Talmudic Jew, the most evil document I've ever seen is the Talmud of Babylon.
Yes.
So if you're Sabbatean or you believe in the Talmud, it's not just a historical document. It's filled with evil.
Yeah.
Get away from it. We'll be back in a moment.
You're listening to GCN. Genesis Communication Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Nutramedical Report. And again, the program, the Nutramedical Report, Clay and Iron Show, covers everything from natural wellness to geopolitics to spirituality, above government technologies. We cover everything. We try to give you a crystal clear point of view. And if you think that we waver on any of these issues, listen to all the programs, and you'll know my statement of faith. You'll know where I stand. There's no wavering whatsoever here. And we don't take sides against one group or another. We just call it the way it is. So if you think that it's okay to think that the Talmud is good, we know about it, okay? The same way as we know about the Islamic Sharia and the Hadith. We know about these religious groups that call themselves religious, and they're just a front for another lettered agency. We know about evil in the world, but what's going on with the State of Israel is they're literally becoming a detonator for World War III.
Yes.
And I believe that the current activities of the State of Israel puts the entire planet in danger. says in the book of Jeremiah how they will become a fire pot in the midst of sheaves around them. In other words, burning all the nations. This is incredibly dangerous, what's going on. And the powers that be, the bankers, would love to see Israel start some kind of conflict with Iran so they could shut off the Strait of Hormuz and drive the price of oil over 200, and they'd be rubbing their hands together. Great. We're going to keep all the oil in the ground. We're going to make a big profit, and we're going to kill a lot of people. And, you know, as we look at this Christmas, New Year season, we can stop it if we simply won't participate. If we actually get to our pastor and our minister and whatever, we say, look, we want you to talk about these things in the pulpit. We want you to stop being a 501c3 church. We want you to stop being a ministry on radio or TV that plays footsie with Israel, that Israel can do no wrong. We want them to become a nation of praisers and high priests of the Most High God. We want them to repent. We want to pray for those people of Israel that are Sabbatean Jews, which are the worst of all, or the Talmudic Jews who were even thrown into the death camps to die because they weren't evil enough for the Sabbateans. I mean, that's the facts. We've had experts on like Barry Chomish. And we tell you, people out there, the only way the Jews are going to be saved from their ultimate annihilation is to turn to their Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Father in the flesh, the creator of the universe, who came among us, his name Emmanuel. He's coming back, and unless those Jews turn to their Messiah, their days on this earth are numbered. Your comments?
Yes, absolutely. Well, as I was just saying before the break, there are many people in the world, including many Jews, who feel obligated to use tough love type of language to Israel, saying your policies are misdirected, they're cruel, they're ultimately self-defeating.
Right, that's why a lot of Jews are moving out of there.
The edicts that just came out of Jerusalem, there's no legitimacy in that middle ground. Either you're for Israel, giving only the most mild criticism of Israel, but if you go toward strong criticism, then you are anti-Semitic, you're joining with Hamas and Hezbollah and terrorists working for the annihilation of Israel. This is extremely simplistic and even very dangerous a language to call millions of people in the world anti-Semitic. Why is it dangerous? Because in many hate law countries, such as Canada, Britain, Germany, and so on, under ADL hate laws, it is a very, very serious thing to be labeled an anti-Semite. That's a hate crime in these countries. It's an indictable offense in Canada. If you are indicted and convicted of the hate crime of saying the Jews killed Christ 2,000 years ago, or language like that, criticizing the Talmud and so on, you can be fined not only $5,000, but if you repeat the offense, you're looking at years of jail time.
Yeah, so, that's why I say repeatedly to our Canadian audience, while I'm living in Southern California, I will repeat this and say it over again. I said it when I was broadcasting up before I moved back down here a few years ago in Eastern Canada. I don't care. Come to my door, FBI. By the way, the FBI now has a right to go to Canada and go and arrest people. And likewise, they'd like to have some law if Obama gets his way, so that if we say something that's broadcast in Canada, we can have the Canadian authorities try to file and extradite us. Well, guess what? Try it. Try it, you fools. Because you know, you're not going to try it once. These laws, we're going to make sure that you can't prosecute them. You can't build enough pulpmobiles to protect your judges and your police and other people if they start disrespecting the people to this level, that they're going to not just separate the church from the state, they're going to make sure they grind the churches down to powder. The church is already muzzled with, we call it, legal duct tape in 501c3. You pastors need to get a backbone and a mouth. You need to stand up now, because they're about to gut what it is to even be a believer in anything, let alone Christianity. Okay? This is the end of the road. Obama wants to make this a secular agnostic state with abortion on demand, euthanasia on demand, no private property, no jobs except working for the government or the police state. That's the agenda this Marxist-Leninist satanic leader wants to march us like a Pied Piper down this road of hell, with the ADL leading the band.
Yes, absolutely. One of the bright spots in my personal life is that I'm now writing for News with Views, which is a mainline evangelical-oriented online newspaper. It has a couple hundred thousand people coming through, primarily evangelical Christians who are
now
reading my articles, and we're getting absolutely no complaints from them. I'm telling it how it is, and Actually, there's, I think I mentioned this on the last program, that there's a California rabbi, Rabbi Shifrin,
yes,
who put up a pilot article there in response to my attacks on ADL a month ago. And he's basically saying Ted Pike is absolutely right on about the ADL and their dreams of world dominion and a corruption of society and so on. Now, I've been working and praying for this for at least 30 years, trying to get a pipeline of truth going right in to the evangelicals, and that's what is happening now, that the truth is going out. And I believe that as we are able to cross over these doctrinal or media boundaries between the religious conservatives and the so-called far right, that very soon many, many more people in the evangelical community are going to realize that what Ted Pike is saying, what Dr. Bill is saying, is very biblical. It's solid doctrinal biblical truth about the Jews. In fact, Christ warned us to beware of the teachings of the Pharisees, and Paul says they're enemies of you for the gospel's sake. These biblical warnings are something that the church needs to hear, and at long last I'm getting an opportunity to speak a lot of this truth to evangelicals. And not only evangelicals, but I am told that many, many of these Tea Party protesters, town hall protesters, are avid readers of News and Views. And I believe that if these very, very active and lively ideas get embedded over into the religious evangelical community, we could see a transformation of that very group, the evangelicals who brought into Israel into existence through their unconditional support during the 20th century. And it'll not be a moment too soon, because obviously the Zionists are biting the very hand that has fed them over the last century, turning on the Christians. It's high time
Christians
realize who their true enemy is.
Right. They also, by the way, the Jews even turned on the Maronite Christians in Lebanon and bombed and attacked them too.
Yes,
so they've lost
right.
their alliance there. They've lost the alliance with Turkey. They're ticking off Americans, even American Jewry that says, what are you doing? You're embarrassing me. When
yeah.
they go out in public, do they want to hear about some Palestinian girl that got the skin stripped off her, or they're using depleted uranium weapons or shelling residential areas? Come on. No, this has got to stop. And I speak as a person with Middle Eastern background and blood, and I say to you Jews of the synagogue of Satan, be silent, put down your weapons, and repent today, because your day of destruction and judgment is coming unless you repent. We're praying for you. We're praying that 2010 and beyond, you're going to get closer to Yeshua HaMashiach. You're going to accept the fact that Messiah came. And if you don't accept Messiah, you're going to find out that as a Jew, God is going to extinguish your light. Because your behavior, and the behavior of those around the world that have thought the ADL and these other these are real anti-Semites. When you attack Palestinians, they're Christian, Arabs, or Russian Jews who return and become Messianic, and you make them not even be able to get a job sweeping in front of a cafe, and they were a neurosurgeon in Russia, you're the anti-Semites, not us. You're the anti-Semites. Get it. Get it straight. No more Mr. Nice Americans dealing with you, Israel. Unless you get your act together, you're going to find you're going to have a cold day.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Nutramedical Report, and Reverend Ted, yeah, 2010 is a call to action. This is 2010. This is the line in the sand. I think people need to know that Obama, who thinks he can go and make pronouncements like, I'm going to give $100 billion to third world countries to stop them cutting down the forests are being cut down by bankers, okay? If we simply restrain the banks, if we got rid of the Fed Reserve and took it over, if we stop these International Monetary Fund from funding and allowing major food cooperatives like the movie Food Inc. from forcing them to cut down forests so they can grow factory farm meat so that they can supply these big toxic food industries, Guess what? It's all caused by international banking. And for Obama to say he's going to get $100 billion, he can't write a check for 5 cents. Mm-hmm. This man is so full of hubris and self-importance. He is a fool. And if we believe this fool and the Democrats who think they can kind of sneak in at 1:20 a.m. on the winter solstice, this health bill, the same way as they shoved through this hate bill, they think that they can govern this way. They're wrong. This is not a way to govern a people. This is a way to set up a totalitarian Marxist-Leninist state. And we're not going to put up with it. It's the end of the road. And we want people, if they're listening in New Zealand, Australia, India, China, everywhere where your people are being suppressed, many of them are actually throwing off the shackles. The Chinese are terrified that their economy, if it crashes, they'll have enough civil disruption, they'll be the end of the communist empire.
Yeah.
They don't need to have a revolution. They simply need to have more economic turndown. If Obama continues to demolish the economy of America and abolish civil rights and kill the unborn, while Muslims have the righteousness not to kill their unborn, and the Catholics that are coming in from Hispanic countries, in a generation, if we don't already annihilate ourselves, we'll be primarily a Muslim and Catholic country.
Yeah,
that's what it'll be, because we'll have killed off our posterity.
I mentioned earlier in the program that ADL is extremely disappointed with the movement forward of its 56-member nation hate crimes Gestapo. It's trying to get started in Europe. Over the past 5 years, ADL and its parent organization, B'nai B'rith International, have been organizing these 56 states into a hate crimes bureaucracy. It's called the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe, or OSCE. But just last month in Warsaw, ADL went over there at their big annual conference and was berating them for not making more hate laws, for not providing enough statistics, for not cooperating and enforcing the hate laws like ADL wants to. And in fact, the statistics that ADL gave there in their report were quite sobering. There's a massive lack of cooperation, whether it's apathy or they're learning about the consequences of hate laws, how they take away free speech, and the horror stories about how people are persecuted in hate laws, under hate laws in other countries. I'm not sure. But the fact of the matter is that, as you're saying, especially through the Internet, we have the privilege and the power to literally girdle the globe with English-speaking people understanding English who are listening to what we have to say.
Right.
And our website, truthtellers.org, is certainly the preeminent website in the world today, warning against hate laws in theory and in practice and in abuses and so on. And we are blanketing Canada. We're blanketing England and Holland and Germany and all over the world. People are learning in no uncertain terms that the ADL is solidly behind the hate laws that have taken their free speech away, whether they're in Iceland or they're in France or they're in Canada, whatever. And I believe that if we can hang on long enough here and continue to blanket the world with this truth about who truly is the eye behind this awful octopus that's taking away freedom, I believe we stand a good chance of getting some real a real peasants' rebellion, a popular revolt going internationally against hate laws. And we could it could be so compelling, so distracting, overwhelming for ADL and the international Zionists that they simply can't keep their schedule and go ahead toward world domination.
Yeah, and of course that's why, and this also fits in with other agendas of the satanic regime. And it's not real what it called biblical Zionism, which is the idea that when God returns in righteousness, the Jews and the Israelites could return to the land of Israel. We're not talking about that. What we're talking about here is a form of satanic Zionism that's based on nuclear blackmail against hundreds of capital cities around the world with nuclear weapons in those cities. It's the political blackmail with Rahm Emanuel and Axelrod in the White House. It's the evil of setting up these hate bureaucracies around the world to silence people who would say things against policies that are political and military policies that anybody with common sense, if it was any other nation, if it was South Africa, if it was Indonesia, if it was China itself, we would be persecuting them and we'd be calling them everything possible that they were doing was evil. We wouldn't tolerate it if it was some other country, would we?
Of course not.
If it was France, if it was France doing these things and bombing, say, Luxembourg with phosphorus shells, we would have the United Nations troops would be in there taking over the Capitol building in Paris, France, tomorrow. But we don't have it, do we?
Yeah. Well, the truth of the matter is, for both you and myself, Paul says, brethren, my heart's desire is that Israel be saved.
Absolutely.
And we have an obligation, we have a concern as Christians to bless Israel where it really matters. And that, of course, as you say, is to lead them to their true Messiah, Jesus Christ, who can give them not only peace and happiness in this world, but eternal joy and union with himself and the Father. That's the great blessing. And when we bless Israel and we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, we are blessing and praying for godly Jews or Jews of good intention that they will not only believe in Jesus, or if they haven't believed, they will turn to Jesus Christ. And this, as you said, is the ultimate aim of the one of the ultimate purposes of Christ's return is to gather a remnant of believing Jews and bring them back to Palestine for the first legitimate return there in the last 2,000 years.
Well, what God said is, come out of my people, Babylon, lest you share in her curses. Well, it means the Talmud of Babylon. That means also, even worse, the Sabbateans, who made sure that even the Torah Talmudic Jews, who were less evil than even the Sabbateans, died in death camps.
Well,
and people need to understand
back in the Old Testament, look at prophets, look at Jesus Christ, and John the Baptist. They really went after these evil Sabbatean type of Jews,
Pharisees.
These Pharisees.
We have the same Pharisees that became the Council of Nine under Herod Agrippa, that became the black nobility of the banks in Europe, that became the Rothschilds. It's the same characters, these Pharisaical, satanic, Sabbatean Jews, and of course their cohorts, the Jesuits and all the other elements of evil in the world, all amalgamated into a satanic cabal. And they're about to try to culminate the world into a world global catastrophe, financial catastrophe, geopolitical catastrophe, environmental catastrophe. And their ultimate solution is for us to turn the Jews to their Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, who came in the flesh 2,000 years ago, the Father in the flesh, and he is coming back. And people need to realize this, that we are at the end of this age. We are months and years away from the treaty that divides the city, that sets up the sacrifice, that guarantees a thermonuclear, biological, and chemical war. But there is salvation, but it starts with, as I say, with the house of Judah. They have to turn back to their Messiah, or their nation and their people will be annihilated. And that's a prophetic word that's in the Bible, isn't it?
Of course. And with this, all this in mind, you see, the most natural thing in the world for any Christian who really does love the Jewish people and their eternal soul,
absolutely,
is not only to speak the whole gospel to them, but also to speak out against these evil shepherds of Israel, these evil Pharisees, the evil Jewish leadership that even now is leading them into possible persecution and worldwide anti-Semitism.
Oh, absolutely. If Israel decides to attack, say, in the next, say, 2 years or 2 months, the state of Iran and kill millions of people, the nation of Israel will be surrounded by blue hats. They will be dismembered. The people will be persecuted around the world. They'll be thrown into prisons. It'll be pogroms all over the planet. It'll be unbelievable if they start a thermonuclear war.
Absolutely.
Even if it's a regional
war. And for that reason, it is not anti-Semitic.
No, it's wanting to save them from this.
Criticize Netanyahu or the government of Israel or the policies of Israel.
I don't want to see this happen.
An act of love for the Jewish people to let them know that they have been under the worst possible leadership, not only now, not only for the last century, but for the last 2,000 centuries. They need to go back and get under the leadership of Jesus Christ, their true Messiah, once again.
Absolutely. And that's the solution. The solution isn't another leader in Israel, another political leader in America that's a false prophet. But they need to turn to the only one that can save them. And when they do, then they'll be safe in this. Not their Talmud, not their Sabbatean anti-Messiahs, but the real Messiah, the Father in the flesh, Yeshua HaMashiach. Thanks very much, Reverend Ted. And again, hopefully this real message of the season gets through to people and to our Jewish brothers. We wish you well. And at the end of Hanukkah, we wish that the lamps of your spirit will also last.
Thank you.